Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. How do you make sense of this great but complicated truth? Almighty, eternal, sovereign God is watching all things here on earth, and somehow he works to accomplish his sovereign purposes, even when we human beings make such messes out of our lives, our families, our communities, and even our nations. There are two Bible verses often quoted to try and help when bad things happen to good people. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. In him, that's Jesus, we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him, that's Almighty God the Father, who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who have hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. May I invite you to ponder these two verses within the context of 2021, wherever you live in the world. How are the circumstances, the events, especially the difficult or unexpected or painful situations, actually being worked together by God for your good, if you are someone who loves God and you are seeking to live your life for his glorious purposes? Or how do you see God working the circumstances of your life, especially the difficult circumstances, together into conformity with the purpose of God's will, so that your life can bring glory to God, as it says in Ephesians 1:11 and 12. Even though both these powerful verses were written hundreds of years after Joseph and the famine in Egypt, as we walk through Joseph's remarkable story, we see these two verses becoming reality right in front of our eyes. That's the way it is with God's timeless truth. That's one reason the Bible is so powerful. It applies in every culture of the world, every language, every generation. Do you love God's Word, my friends, and do you relish the opportunity to immerse yourself in it every day? Is it changing your life, as Hebrews 4:12 promises it will? I left you yesterday in Joseph's elegant Egyptian house with his 11 brothers. Simeon, who had been brought up out of prison to join them, and Benjamin the youngest, is with them. While they wait for Joseph to come home from the grain-selling floor to have some lunch, they have been stunned in a brief chat with Joseph's Egyptian attendant. He claims he is the one who handled their silver as payment when they last came to Egypt to buy grain. Thus, he knows about how and why their money was returned into their full grain sacks. They are also stunned because he said to them these remarkable words, "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks." Genesis 43:23. Now, there is no evidence anyone in Egypt knew anything about El Shaddai, the Almighty God who had appeared to Abraham and given him the covenant promise of a family and land while they lived in a very unique covenant relationship with this God. Well, we must admit there is one person in Egypt who knows of this God, Joseph. And let's remember, God was with Joseph, sustaining him while he was a slave in Potiphar's house and later while in prison. God gave Joseph understanding as he listened to Pharaoh's dreams. And then God gave Joseph a wise plan for crop management, which is why Pharaoh had placed Joseph in this high position. Therefore, we can assume Joseph had told his steward about his God, and that is why the steward said those words to these brothers of Joseph who'd come from Canaan, even though he didn't know they were Joseph's brothers. Look, the door has opened, and bodyguards are escorting Mr. Joseph into his home. He is second in command in all of Egypt. His time is precious, and these 11 men are confused as to why they have been brought to Joseph's house. The record says, Joseph asked them how they were, and then said, "And how is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living?" They replied, "Your servant, our father, is alive and well," and they bowed low to pay him honor. I presume Joseph was, of course, talking to them through a translator. To their minds, this Egyptian official was making small talk, but to him, it was a very important question. This Egyptian official knew so much more about their father and each of them than they would ever believe. Being Jacob's favorite son, I imagine Jacob had said things to Joseph he did not say to any of his other sons. Do we sometimes talk with God in prayer this way? We treat God as though we assume he is ignorant about what we know, or he does not understand the complex issues of our day. When in fact, God knows far more about me and my life, you and your life, and every corner of our world, than we ever will. Now ponder that a moment as you consider this scene with Joseph and his brothers. Next, the record says Joseph saw young Benjamin. Can you imagine what he felt in that moment? He had asked the others, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" They had not seen each other in more than 20 years. They were the only two sons Rachel, their mother, ever birthed. In fact, Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife, died as she was giving birth to Benjamin. So Benjamin never knew their mother. But I'm sure as they were young, Joseph told his younger brother so many wonderful things about their mother he loved. Even though these men had not seen each other in more than 20 years, there was an immediate connection and an emotional rush for Joseph as he looked at Benjamin. Joseph said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." And then Joseph rushed out of the room, looking for a private place to weep. Can you feel what Joseph was feeling? Have you thought about this? This is a tiny picture of how much God loves you. Upon his return, Joseph ordered the food to be served. The Genesis record makes a very important observation about the seating arrangement at this lunch. Did you notice? They served Joseph by himself, the brothers in another section of the room by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with them by themselves, because Egyptians do not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. Now ponder that powerful statement, my friends. Egyptians viewed themselves as a superior race to all others in the world. While Joseph was a Hebrew, his identity was not known to the Pharaoh or any other Egyptian officials, as far as we know. Hebrew was a word describing Abraham and all his descendants, including Ishmael's very large family, Esau's large family, and Jacob's large family. That would have been several hundred people. Perhaps Hebrew applied to other peoples as well. Most all of them were shepherds by trade, and that vocation was detestable to Egyptians, who viewed themselves as the most sophisticated, educated society in the known world. So that is why we see three dining areas in Joseph's house when this lunch is served. But watch this, my friends. Remember, Joseph had told the Pharaoh that his dreams indicated God was determined to send both 7 years of abundance and 7 years of total devastation to Egypt. So, you see, God, in his sovereignty over rainfall and crop production, was controlling even the climate in order to accomplish his great purpose, which would shape the world and all human history. But in order to save Egypt from starvation, as well as his covenant people, the descendants of Abraham, God needed to raise up just the right man to manage this cataclysmic 14 years of crop volatility, Joseph. Everyone in Joseph's house that day presumed Joseph to be a purebred Egyptian royal official. But God was working his miracle secretly. The record tells us one other very important thing about this lunch at the Egyptian official's house. The brothers had been seated in the order of their ages, from firstborn to youngest, and they looked at each other in amazement. When portions were served, Benjamin's was five times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely. For the brothers, there was no explanation as to the seating arrangement. No one could possibly know their birth order, especially since they had four different mothers, yet one father, Jacob. But Joseph knew, and he had instructed his steward regarding the seating order. It was another indication Joseph was watching over every detail. It's another picture for us of how God watches over the details of your life and mine, especially though we don't notice or often think about it. Evidently, after lunch, everyone went back to work. The brothers brought their empty sacks on their donkeys and their little sacks of silver and bought as much grain as they could load in those sacks. With Simeon free, the record says, as morning dawned, the brothers went on their way with their donkeys. Oh, can you imagine their satisfaction that all had gone so well? As they headed north, their expectation was they'd all be home with a good supply of food in a few days. Most rewarding, of course, was both Benjamin and Simeon were along with their caravan. Old Father Jacob would be delighted. What they didn't know, of course, was that Joseph had devised a plan, a diabolical plan, to once again test their integrity and their character. We'll look at that tomorrow. But once again, please see a picture here of you and me. Every day, no matter where in the world you live, you and I find ourselves in many different circumstances of life. But all we can see is what we see in our situation. It's such a small perspective. But God can see your situation from every vantage point. Joseph knew something the 11 brothers heading north didn't know. Their grain sacks had more than grain in them. And in a short while, Joseph would send his soldiers after those brothers, accusing them of thievery, and suddenly their happy journey would collapse into despair once again. A great test was coming. Would their integrity, their character, pass the test or fail once again? And how about you and me? Are there tests coming our way today in the circumstances of our lives? God knows all about the details, and He's watching to see if we will pass the test. Will our integrity withstand the test? Are your roots deep enough with God that you can withstand the ferocious storms? Here's a song to help you reflect on that, my friends.